Strange Stories UK here again, Constance Martin and Mark Gordon, podcast 4. Well, hello all. I'm assuming that anybody listening to this has some knowledge on this case, the Constance Martin, Mark Gordon case at the Old Bailey. I've decided to post an additional podcast of this case based on week 7 of this extraordinary trial. This is the 4th podcast on this trial. Week 8 has been delayed as the case is overrun to such an extent that the judge has other commitments. It is hoped that the case will recommence on the 25th of March, but probably only for a couple of days before Easter, and then it's thought there will be more delays. No one knows when the case will finish, probably sometime in mid-late April. At this time, I will post the final podcast on the case. This podcast, as said, is mainly about events of week 7 of the trial, which started on Monday the 11th of March, when Constance Martin continued to give evidence and give a spirited performance during some intense, emotional and bad-tempered cross-examination. Constance Martin, when in the witness stand, cannot be advised by her defence counsel team, but she did not seem overawed by the occasion and could be accused of using the court as a stage to voice some of her opinions on social services, her family, the police and the media. Constance Martin is quite an imposing figure, being a little under 6 feet tall and not at all intimidated by the judge and the prosecution barristers. She says what she thinks. I would have thought that Mark Gordon, watching Constance giving testimony, was thankful that he had decided against giving evidence. It allowed him to somewhat fade into the background. There seemed to be lots of comment and opinions against the actions and comments of Constance Martin, but little on Mark Gordon, who gives the appearance of being the less dominant personality. On social media, there are theories being discussed that Mark Gordon, about 12 or 13 years older than her, has manipulated Constance Martin, alienating her from friends and family, and making use of her trust fund money. I think this may stem from Mark Gordon's lack of prospects. However, there is little evidence that this is the case. She seems to be the stronger personality. Trial date, Monday the 11th of March. As the case had overrun its 6 weeks estimate, the lead prosecution barrister was now Joel Smith. I'm assuming that the previous lead prosecutor, Mr. Little, had previous commitments causing him to hand over the lead role to Smith. Smith was proving just as tenacious as Tom Little. Some of the exchanges with Constance Martin were rather bad-tempered. One of the clashes was when Martin was asked when she found out she was pregnant with baby Victoria, her 5th child with Mark Gordon. Prosecutor Joel Smith asked Martin, "Do you remember what you were doing when you found out you were pregnant with Victoria?" She replied, "I'm not sure what the relevance of that question is." Martin was told to answer the question by the judge, and she replied, "I would have been on the toilet." Then she qualified her answer, saying it was between March and May 2022. She couldn't give an exact time as she was living in Greenwich, South London at that time, concentrating on the fight to get her children back after they were stolen from her by the state. Constance Martin is visibly angry about the removal of her previous children when she talks about it in court. She claimed that 2 of her children were abused while in care. No details were given other than they were supposedly spat at. Sometimes it seems that Constance Martin couldn't care less and was being as difficult as she could be given the circumstances, especially when she goes off on a tangent about the family court and social services and goes on and on and tries to ignore any attempts to stop her talking. She's told off by the judge, but will keep on talking. The judge has asked her if he can get in at word in edgeways. I suppose when in Constance Martin's position, she hasn't got that much to lose, so why should she go along with court procedure if she can make things difficult? Constance has ignored the judge's advice and the judge must be exasperated, but he has to be careful also. It will be intriguing to hear his closing speech, as he will have to be careful to keep up with legal parameters. Constance Martin talks about matters which are supposedly covered in the agreed facts, but it seems that Constance Martin hates the decisions of the family court, as she thinks her children had been stolen from her by the state, so she will keep trying to publicise the family court in a negative way. She may misguidedly see the court case as a way to get her children back. Cross-examination on Monday, the 11th of March, went over old ground again about Constance Martin and Mark Gordon's fears that they were being tracked and their cars were being tampered with by private investigators. There's no evidence that this actually happened, but nobody has been to court to deny it. One interesting statement given by Constance Martin was that after the Suzuki car that they were in burst into flames near Bolton on the 5th of January 2023, and they lost most of their belongings and a substantial amount of money, which supposedly went up in flames, this concerned the cat that they'd had for some years. Constance said that they would smuggle the cat into hotels. But then she said she had to choose between the cat and the baby. They chose baby Victoria to try to smuggle her out of the country. Constance Martin said that any chance of this was thwarted by press attention, drawing attention to them. Another interesting fact about the Peugeot car that burst into flames came in cross-examination. Constance Martin claimed that there had been a child seat and a Moses basket in the car that were being used by baby Victoria. This was considered important, as if these items were in the car, it would indicate that the baby was being properly cared for. These items were not found in the car after the couple fled the scene. Constance was of the opinion that they were definitely there and they must have been burnt to ashes in the car fire. This did not seem probable given the photographs released of the damage caused by the fire, which did not seem that extensive. Constance Martin commented again on press attention, saying that it was seriously affecting witnesses, causing people to exaggerate and make things up. Also, it was causing bad publicity for them, as they were being seen as really bad people. Constance claimed that the case was so well publicised that people were exaggerating what they thought they knew just to have their day in court. Constance was particularly annoyed by witnesses that had come to court to give evidence that they'd seen baby Victoria and were estimating that the baby was a newborn. This would have been the man who stopped after their Peugeot car caught fire and said that the baby he saw seemed to be newborn, with newborn baby gunk on their head. Constance Martin referred to these people who had come to court as witnesses as curtain twitchers, who just wanted to be involved in the case and wanted to come to court. This would also have been aimed at the witnesses or the witness that thought they'd seen the couple in Seaford. Martin was questioned about her plans to smuggle her baby daughter abroad. She said that she wasn't able to register her because social services would have taken her away. She thought that the baby deserved to be with her. Martin claimed to be a good mother. She said that she wanted to go abroad with Victoria so the baby could spend the first 3 months of her life with her and bond with her as her mother. Constance claimed that she had tried to get to Ireland with her children in the past and was prevented from doing so as she prepared to board the ferry. Constance said that the family member had got a court order which banned her from leaving the country. The family member was not named, but I would guess it was her father, who may have been persuaded to do so by other family members. The family member, who we're assuming is her father, claimed that Constance was bearing children to sell on the black market, and she was a drug addict. As a result, a travel ban in place against her was allowed after a private High Court case in 2019. Constance told the court that she had the intention to find some people to smuggle them abroad illegally. They had internet links to give them advice and contacts. She suggested that Gumtree advertised help for mothers wanting to flee the UK. Constance said that they were prepared to go anywhere in Europe to get away from the UK. She said that the plan B was to stay in the UK and lie low. Then after the first 3 months of baby Victoria's life, after laying low, to give it to somebody to take abroad. They would pay the person to look after the baby and register Victoria under that person's name. Constance Martin told the court that she would had to spend time with that person to get to bond with them and to be sure that they would care for the baby properly. Constance said that she could not register Victoria under her name without alerting the social services. She also said that she planned to use private medical care at Harley Street in London if her daughter ever needed any medical attention. She did not intend to register with the NHS. It was explained that doctors in the UK are bound by a duty of care to report concerns to social services if they had concerns. So it seemed that if this was Constance Martin's plan to give the entire parental rights to someone else via a birth certificate and risk that person could disappear, it could seem to the family that she was selling a baby on the black market, because that is what it would have looked like. Again, it could be argued that the family were deliberately misunderstanding Constance Martin's objectives and then maliciously informing social services. One of the most strange aspects of this case has been the lack of input from any of Constance Martin's family. There's been nothing from them. Maybe they had legitimate concerns over Constance. This may be why they hired private investigators. Possibly, the family trust needed Constance Martin, who had cut links with the family for some unexplained reason, to sign documents to deal with family trust matters. There'd also been an issue about parking tickets which needed sorting out. Or maybe there were concerns about Mark Gordon pretending to be the brother of Constance Martin's brother's wife when Constance was pretending to be an Irish traveller at a Welsh hospital. This is all speculation, but there were possibly good reasons why the family were trying to contact her to attend meetings to sort out family business. The family may have had concerns about Constance Martin's lifestyle and over Mark Gordon. But if this was the case, why have they not told the court about their actions or worries and concerns? I suppose that an answer to these concerns would be that perhaps the family thought it best to say nothing in case they were cross-examined and had to let out family secrets, which may have reflected badly on either them or Constance. Again, the point is made, why did this case come to court? What good could it actually do unless it was thought that baby Victoria was deliberately killed through neglect? On being cross-examined, Martin told the court that she was not prepared to take the gamble of putting baby Victoria through social services after her previous four children had been taken away from her, although she did state that she would prefer her daughter to have gone into care rather than die while on the run. When asked how they would find a suitable person to take their baby, Constance Martin replied, "Where there's a will, there's a way." I think she was thinking about the internet sites where she hoped to contact a suitable person to take her child abroad. This person would then give updates and supply photographs of the child's progress. To help understand the desperation that Constance Martin was feeling, she knew that her baby would be taken for adoption by the social services and she would never see her again. Another alternative was that maybe the couple had already found someone to smuggle the baby abroad for them. But after they'd lost the cash in the car fire and the high media profile manhunt started, perhaps that person, if they ever existed, decided that it was too risky and the couple were left without a plan. There were so many areas of doubt and intrigue that were not being accepted or dismissed by the court. These were areas of doubt which encouraged speculation. Tuesday, the 12th of March, 2023, there was no trial on this day. Wednesday the 13th of March. This saw wranglings between the prosecution barrister Joel Smith and Constance Martin over a number of subjects, such as whether the baby Victoria was dumped or placed in a little bag after she died, whether it was appropriate to carry a newborn in a homemade sling under a jacket, whether the baby was kept warm enough and a tent was a suitable shelter for the baby, whether they handled the baby with enough care, this being the result of a CCTV footage indicating that the baby's head was not being properly supported. Constance Martin repeatedly said that the prosecution were trying to make something out of nothing and argued that when her previous four children were taken into care, social services had reported that the children were well looked after and they were content children. Constance Martin also made the point that she and her partner were not in a good place, being completely gripped with fear and grief after their baby daughter had died. Constance Martin was being provocative, making comments such as "Jesus survived in a barn" and "the babies don't require that much to survive, they just need food, warmth and care." These seem to be soundbites sure to be reported in the press, which would then have to be qualified with her criticisms of the reasons why her children were taken from her. It also gave her the chance to give publicity to the Ian Joseph website, forced adoption website, although she made it clear that the website did not sanction anything illegal. One piece of advice she was anxious to publicise was one of Ian Joseph's golden rules. This golden rule being, never report domestic violence to social services, otherwise they will take your children away. It was a controversial piece of advice, but not illegal to state it. Constance Martin was asked by the prosecution, "Are you responsible for baby Victoria's death?" Constance Martin tearfully responded, "To a degree, of course. I feel responsible as her mother for her death, but at the same time I have to love and forgive myself because it was a real awful set of circumstances, but I didn't mean to fall asleep." So Constance Martin flagging up that the death was a tragic accident and the prosecution were not being in a position to prove that it wasn't. The case was taking some bizarre turns with these allegations of wardship, baby smuggling, drug addiction, private detectives tracking and tampering with cars and such things. These claims had not been addressed by the prosecution case, and it seemed that we had not heard the Martin family or the social services make any comment on these allegations. In court cases, in fact the whole reason for a court case is that it has to feel that the whole story has been told, but it felt this was not the case in this trial to date. I would have liked to have had some details on Constance Martin's claim that she was subject to a travel ban on going abroad. The prosecution do not have to disprove these statements that Constance Martin was making in court, but if they challenged them and even disproved them, it would undermine her credibility. And if such statements are not challenged, it seems fair that they have to be accepted. Although it felt like Constance Martin was being delusional in some of her claims, she felt that running off with her baby seemed to be the only option open to her. As there had been no comment by either side regarding Constance Martin's state of mind, other by her claims that she felt extreme anxiety and grief, Constance Martin made claims that the social services had been working with her family to separate her from her children. Constance Martin also claimed that police warned CCTV of her and Mark Gordon's arrest had been staged to block out the police assaulting Mark Gordon, which caused Judge Lucraft to warn her about one of the consequences of making serious allegations. The judge had also warned Constance Martin about trying to reopen the arguments that had been dealt with by the family courts about her children being stolen and unfair practices by the social services. There was a feisty clash between the prosecution and Constance Martin over whether the body of baby Victoria was placed or dumped in a little bag for life. Constance Martin was upset at the expression of Victoria being dumped, as it was called by Joel Smith. I must admit, it did seem to be provocative language by Joel Smith. Constance Martin said that Victoria's body was her spacesuit. Her spirit was still out there. Grief and shock was why they carried her in the bag. Other items were put in the bag to deflect attention from public gaze. Constance Martin did mention that her and Mark Gordon talked about suicide after baby Victoria had died. Thursday, the 14th of March, the trial started at 1:30 in the afternoon. This was the fifth day that Constance Martin was giving evidence. Constance said she was feeling unwell, but the trial went ahead and it proved quite an interesting session. During her cross-examination, prosecutor Joel Smith put a number of claims to her from the website of Ian Joseph. This led to a number of claims of how corrupt the social services were, according to Constance Martin. She again expressed her thoughts that lawyers in the family courts were corrupt and worked against their client's best interest, I beg your pardon. The judge had to intervene again during the questioning to tell Constance Martin that she should not try to reopen family court arguments. The website of Ian Joseph was discussed in some detail. Constance Martin gave her ideas about social services, arguing that they had a monetary interest by taking children away from their parents. Though it was not explained how they would make money by doing this. It was explained that the objectives of Ian Joseph giving advice helping women flee the UK to give birth abroad and keep their babies. The key aspect is that women that flee the country while they are still pregnant. Constance Martin was claiming that she was barred from leaving the UK, presumably as a result of the previous wardship proceedings. Constance said that she was not just against social services, but family members who were very influential, with huge connections in high places, including Parliament. She said that if her family told social services to jump, social services would say, "How high?" Her family were highly embarrassed about the fact that she had children with Mark Gordon and the fact that they did not come from an upper-class privileged background. So she was saying that her family were being very snobbish about Mark Gordon. She said that the family, her family, would go to any length to get what they wanted. They would stop at nothing because they disagreed with her choices. Towards the end of the session, the prosecution asked Constance Martin about living in a tent near Newhaven on January the 8th, the day baby Victoria died. She was just 2 weeks old. Constance Martin told how she would change the baby in the tent. She would put a sleeping bag over her head and tuck the sides under her legs to create a dome. She would be holding a torch in her mouth. Constance said that she had to do this as it felt cold. It got down to 5 degrees centigrade that night and it rained. That would have been the night that Victoria died, according to Constance. It would get colder that month, going as low as -5 on the 17th of January, when it was below freezing all day long. It was at this stage during the court case that Constance Martin told how baby Victoria died. Victoria was face down on Constance's chest in a sling under her coat, which was zipped up. It seemed that Constance Martin fell asleep on Victoria, who was in effect smothered. Friday the 15th of March. Nothing happened today other than legal arguments. What went on, no one knows. Constance Martin's evidence has not flowed as is usual in court cases, perhaps because she's a difficult witness, and that's partly the reason why there are so many legal arguments. Even if Constance Martin is telling the truth about Victoria's death, The prosecution say that she's still responsible for causing the death. But this type of death is not uncommon, and it's very difficult to prove. Constance Martin has been giving evidence now for 6 days, and although she's gone off topic to give vent to her feelings about how she's been treated, she's not been overawed and performed well. She's feisty, well-spoken, direct and very angry. She's changed her defence team, which indicates that she has a clear idea of how she intends to present herself. There was a public demonstration outside the Old Bailey on the Friday in defence of her. This case is going to get so much scrutiny, and hopefully the closing statements will allow some focus. I'm looking forward especially to Judge Lucraft's closing statement. And we will hear about this in the next podcast. So until then, I will say thank you for listening. Thank you for Damselfly for the background music. And until then, goodbye.